Welcome to Hunt Springs Baptist Church. Also, welcome to Coolwater Cowboy Church. I'm glad you could join us today on this Palm Sunday. And as we are gathered today, we'd like to begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Kind Fathers, we come before you and celebrate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the finished work of Christ on the cross. As we go into this Passion Week, into this Easter season, let us be ever mindful of your grace to us, your forgiveness, and Lord, that you bring us peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, we ask now that you would be with us these next few minutes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning as we gather, it's a little different than the years past. We gather today for a Palm Sunday service, but we can't gather together in our churches. But Christians all over the world are celebrating Palm Sunday today, celebrating the peace that Christ brought to us when he went to the cross to die for our sins. Also, we share something else today. First time in my life that I know of that the whole world has shared in something as noticeable as the corona pandemic. The whole world is suffering from the effects of the pandemic, but also as humanity together we suffer from another pandemic. It's called sin. And Christ went to the cross to die for our sins that he might reconcile us to God, that he might bring us to God, Scripture says. And by doing this, as Christians who believe that Jesus died for our sins, we have the work of reconciliation. We should be sharing the peace with others. And that's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like to do with you today is share the peace of Christ. The pandemic, the problem of sin, the things that's going on when we can't gather together, our disrupted routines, all of this brings chaos into our lives. Today's message from Luke 19, verses 28 through 48, tells us how to find calm in the chaos. How to find calm in the chaos. No matter what's going on in your life, the first thing that is necessary to find calmness, to understand peace, which means a wholeness or well-being of all of life. It's not just happy circumstances. It's a wholeness and a calmness in the midst of any circumstances. So no matter what is going on in the world, Jesus Christ can bring you peace in that situation. Jesus says that he does not give us peace as the world brings you peace, but my peace I leave with you. Jesus blesses us with a peace beyond our understanding sometime. This morning, if you will, look at me in Luke's gospel. This is called the triumphant entry where Jesus enters into Jerusalem on the Sunday before he goes to the cross on Friday. It's also practiced in church to be Palm Sunday because in Matthew there are often palm leaves are described with the coats that was laid on the road for Jesus. Also, the palm branches was a sign of peace. Jesus was bringing peace to humanity. Jesus was bringing peace to God's people. Jesus was bringing peace between God and man. It was an offer of forgiveness and reconciliation that would restore God's rule over his creation. This morning, if you will, let's look at how Jesus comes in peace and let us recognize the time of our visitation. We all would like calm in the chaos. Today is an opportunity that we can be visited by the peace of Christ if we'll do three things. Look with me, if you will, to verse 28 of chapter 19 in Luke's gospel. It says, after he had said these things, he was going on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he approached Bethpage and Bethany near the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, go into the village ahead of you. There, as you enter, you'll find a colt tied on which no one yet has ever sat. untie it and bring it to me. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent away and found it just as he had told them, and as they was untying the colt, its owner said to them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. They brought it to Jesus and threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. This morning I want you to consider allowing Jesus to guide you into his peace. Allow Jesus to guide you into his peace. We are doing something different this morning. For a lot of you, it's probably the first Palm Sunday, unless you was sick, that you did not attend church for the Palm Sunday service. There's always different ways of doing things. Here we see that the disciples have been following Jesus. This is two of his disciples that he tells them to go into this village ahead of you. Now, we know where Bethany is. Bethany is on the eastern slope of the Mount Olivet. And Bethpage, we don't know exactly where it is. But it's possible that Bethpage is the village that Jesus was sending these two disciples into. He told them to go into the village and get a colt that had not been ridden, bridled, or saddled, a colt that would be tied. And he says, why are you untying this colt? When the owners asked you why you're untying it, you tell them the Lord has need of it. Now, can you imagine these disciples? They've been with Jesus for 3 years. In the 3 years they've been with Jesus, they have walked everywhere they've been or either rode in a boat. They have never seen Jesus ride a horse or a donkey or do anything like this, be in a chariot. They've never seen any of these activities. And yet he tells them, go get me a donkey colt. Now this donkey colt was to fulfill the scripture that is in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. There, 500 years before Jesus sends for this donkey colt, Zechariah the prophet writes, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Here we see that Jesus is coming into Jerusalem as prophesied by Zechariah. He's riding on a donkey, a picture of peace. In biblical times, David rode a donkey. He told his servants to put Solomon on the donkey and lead him into town so that they would know that he had been anointed king of God's people. We see that when people come on a donkey, they're coming in peace. Now, during war times, the leaders or the kings, they would come riding horses surrounded with war chariots and their soldiers. But when a king come riding on a donkey, it was to bring peace. It says here that we're to sing, O daughter of Jerusalem. The city that Jesus is riding into, the very name Jerusalem means foundations of peace. Jesus is coming to bring peace, not wrath, not chaos. However, as Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, he's been fixed on this destination since chapter 9, verse 51, that says Jesus determined to go to Jerusalem. So Jesus had set his face towards Jerusalem to end up there to bring peace to mankind, to make peace between God and man. Christ, in less than a week, would die on a cross for the sins of the world. He would be buried for our transgressions. Romans 4 says that he would be raised for our justification. Jesus would die to bring peace between God and man. 1 Timothy says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. Jesus lived the life we should have lived. Died the death we deserved, was buried, and was raised as proof that we can have a new life. A new life, not one waiting wrath, not one of chaos, not one of trouble, but one that we are at peace with God. Now, when he tells these disciples to go get this donkey, They go and get it. They had never done anything like this. It was something new to them. Today, we're experiencing something new. We're not in church, but that doesn't mean that we cannot look for God's peace, even though we can't gather together inside the church building. You can call someone today. Tell them how God has brought peace to your life through salvation. Tell them how God has brought peace to you in this time of disruption that we're suffering throughout the world. Call someone. Share the peace of Christ with them. God will guide us into His peace if we just allow Him. We need to obey Him even if we don't understand where He's going. Hey, God's going to take care of this pandemic. I believe that with all my heart. I don't know how He's going to do it. I don't know when He's going to do it. But the preacher in Ecclesiastes says that God has put eternity in our heart and we still don't understand all that He does from beginning to end. John Piper says it this way. God is doing 10,000 things around us every day, and we're lucky if we see one of them. Jesus is bringing us peace. Jesus offers us peace through this difficult time that we're in right now, but we got to be willing to let Him guide us into that peace. We got to be willing to do something new. And this is what we see here. As they went and untied this donkey, it was just as Jesus said. We don't know if this was Jesus' omniscience or if He had prearranged this. But either way, He had prepared before the foundations of the world for this donkey to be there, for Him to guide His disciples to this donkey, for them to untie it. And when someone asked them, "Why are you taking this donkey?" they was to say, "The Lord is in need of it. The Lord is going to use this to show that He brings peace from God." And as they untied it and carried it back, it says that they threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. We not only have to allow Jesus to lead us into uncharted territories, lead us into new things, lead us into new ways of worshiping Him, new ways of trusting Him, but we also have to give Him control of everything we got. They gave Him their coats as a saddle. The other disciples that had been following Jesus from Bethany and all the way from Galilee, they throwed their coats on the ground, giving Jesus honor, giving Him respect, giving Him everything they had for Him to bring about peace on earth, peace between God and man. As we see this morning and we look at this and we continue to read down through here, we see that as He was going, they were spreading their coats on the ground. Verse 37 says, as soon as He was approaching near the descent of Mount Olives, so He's on the west side of Mount Olives, He's starting down. This whole crowd of disciples that have been following Him from Galilee, they begin to praise God. Now, these are not the people in Jerusalem. These are the disciples that have been following Jesus, hearing His teaching, seeing Him heal the sick, seeing Him forgive people, and seeing the miracles and the great power of God that He's been accomplishing. And it says they begin to praise God joyfully with a loud voice. We need to allow God to guide us into His peace. We need to let Him lead us into a time of peace with Him. When we do that, it will result in praise. We'll joyfully, with a loud voice, for all the things that we've seen Him do, be praising and worshiping God. It says here that they were shouted, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." They recognized Jesus as the Messiah, the anointed King of God that had come to deliver His people, that had come to right wrongs, wipe out badness, and to restore peace to His people. But it says here in the next phrase, it says, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Luke began his gospel by telling us he was writing in a orderly fashion all the things that Jesus did and taught, so that we would know what we have been taught is the truth. And there, when Jesus was born, the angels said, "Glory and peace on earth to all men whom God is pleased. When Jesus came to earth, God came to bring peace. Now that Jesus is going to the cross, there will make peace in heaven. All who believe in Jesus can have peace with God. There's no peace on earth until we have peace in heaven. You need to think about that. If you are having a problem with a coworker, a friend, your spouse, a child, that you're always in conflict, you're always at odds, you need to ask yourself, have I got peace with God? We can never understand peace with one another until we understand peace with God. Jesus gives us peace with God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are children of wrath. We've rebelled against God. We've rejected God. And because of that, we are children of wrath, estranged from God. We are socially distant from God because of our sin. But Jesus died in our place for our sin, that He may forgive our sin and bring us to God. The Bible says that Jesus died once for all for sin, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. We can be reconciled to God in heaven. When we have peace with God, we can start understanding how to share the grace of God with others so that we can have peace with them. Even in chaotic situations, if we've got peace with God, we can take that peace into that situation. It says here, though, that we always have to remember that now and then someone will want to rain on our parade. It says that some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." So picture this. Jesus is on this donkey. They've been waiting for God's King to come and bring peace. He's riding. They're celebrating. Everything Jesus has been telling them is fixing to come together. They think when He rides into Jerusalem, this is it. We're going to have peace. And then the Pharisees come up and they tell Jesus, "Teacher, quit. Rebuke them. Tell them to quit. You know you're not the King. You know you're not bringing peace. You know this ain't going to work. You know this ain't the way God always does it. You know this is not the way we've done it. Tell them to quit saying that you will bring them peace." Listen to what Jesus says. "I tell you, if these become silent, these stones will cry out." Look, when you're looking for peace in the midst of this pandemic, you need to trust Christ. You need to admit, "Christ, guide me into your peace. I don't understand tomorrow what's going to happen. I don't know when I'm going to get this stimulus check, when I'm going to get my unemployment. I don't know if my health insurance is going to run out. I don't know if I'm going to test positive. Lord, I don't know any of this, but bring me some calm in the chaos. Guide me into your peace. Let me see what you got for me." And when you do that, you can share with other people how Christ has just brought you peace. "I don't know what's happening tomorrow, but I know me and Jesus Christ, we can handle it together." But when you tell people this, they're going to oppose you sometime. They're going to be like, "No, you got to do this. You got to do that." Let me tell you something. Take, for instance, the stimulus check. We will receive this money supposedly in a couple of weeks. We'll all have a little bit of extra money. Now, some of us will budget it and try to make do with it. Some of us will be worried about running out next month. We might hide it under our mattress. Some of us will think, "Hey, man, I have won the lottery. I got $1,200 extra dollars," and we'll just go blow it. No matter what you do with that stimulus check, it's not going to bring you peace during this pandemic, because eventually it will run out, no matter what you do with it. But Jesus Christ is a constant. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's always with you. I don't care how bad things get. He will calm the storm some days, and other days He'll calm you in the midst of the storm. Don't let anyone rain on your parade. Tomorrow, if you get up and you say, "Lord, today just help me find your peace. Guide me into your peace. Help me today." And in a few minutes, if somebody starts bringing chaos into your situation, bringing worry back about this pandemic, about money, about what's going on in your household, you remember that God still is willing to guide you into peace. Just get out and walk out in the yard. Let me tell you what Scripture says about the peace of God and the praise of God. Everything that has breath will praise God. This is what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees. He's saying, all creation know that I'm the Prince of Peace. If these people, my disciples, don't holler out, even the rocks that I'm walking on will holler out. Let me tell you this morning that Luke 19 says the rocks will cry out. Isaiah 55, 12 tells us the trees will clap. Psalm 114, verses 4 and 6 says the mountains will skip and sing. And one of my favorite, Psalm 19, 1 says the sky will proclaim the works of the hands of God. In the morning, when you don't know if God can guide you into peace, you walk outside. The sun come up, Christ can bring you peace. If the leaves on the trees is slapping against each other, God can bring you peace. If the mountain or the hilltop right over there is still there that was there yesterday, Jesus is still there to bring you peace. If you look up and see the clouds moving across the sky, you know that God is ready to guide you into His peace. So, with the leaves blowing, the sun shining, the clouds moving, and the thunder rattling, raise your hands and just praise God and say, Jesus, my peace, my strength, my fortress, my refuge, the horn of my salvation. Lord, I trust you today. Guide me through these difficulties and lead me into your peace. If we don't allow Jesus to guide us into his peace, we can grieve him. The scripture says here in verses 41 through 44 that Jesus grieves if we fail to recognize the time of our visitation. Jesus offers to guide us into peace. He visits us. And if we miss this, then it grieves Jesus. Jesus does not want us to be in conflict. Jesus doesn't want our lives to be in chaos, in turmoil. Jesus wants to bring peace to us. Jesus grieves if we fail to recognize His offer of peace. Not knowing the way of peace, that grieves Jesus. As he approached Jerusalem, like we said, the city, the foundation of peace, the literal name and the donkey he's riding reveals the peace that the person of Christ can bring you peace. He can bring peace to your situation. He can bring peace when you come before the Lord with worship. Verse 41 says that he saw the city and he wept over it. He cried over it. And it says the reason he cried, he said, if you had known in this day, even you. You know, if you don't know the peace of God, it just grieves him. He's offering it to you in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus weeps if you don't accept his peace, if you don't want the things that he offers you to make peace. How do we have peace? First, you've got to have peace with God. You just have to admit that you've not been living life God's way. You've been living it your own way. You've got to recognize that Jesus came to this earth, born of a virgin, sinless, lived a life, done his ministry according to the will of God, never disobeying God, never sinning. He lived the life that we were supposed to live. Yet, He died in our place. The Bible says that God demonstrated His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ went to the cross and died for us before we ever got our lives together. If you believe that you have not been living God's way, you've got this chaos and this turmoil in your life you can't straighten out, and you say, Lord, I know something's wrong, it's because you're not at peace with God. Jesus offers you that peace. You simply say, Jesus, I know you've died for my sins. I believe that you was buried and you was raised to a new life, and you offer me that life if I'll just accept your forgiveness and your rule over my life. Say, Jesus, take control of my life. Guide me into your peace. Lord, don't let me grieve you when you offer me peace anymore. Help me to know the way of the peace. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father except through me. He said, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. By believing in Jesus, we have peace with God. We can be in the presence of God. When we got peace in heaven, we can have peace on earth no matter what's going on around us. Also, we grieve Jesus not knowing that He is our constant peace. Jesus is always with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He tells us to take courage, to be strong. Why? Because He's with us. He will bring us peace. He will bring us victory over our problems. This morning, I charge you to recognize the way of peace and that Christ is our constant peace. Christ just doesn't only bring us peace in salvation and peace with God. But once we have peace with God, Christ brings peace in all our situations. And we need to remember that. Now, if you reject that, Jesus here says the reason He's weeping is because they have missed His offer of peace. And He says, in the future, days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade around you, against you, surround you, hem you in on every side. They'll level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of visitation. If we don't accept the peace of Christ and be reconciled to God, and then accept Christ's direction and leadership in our lives and everyday things in obedience to Him, we'll never know this peace. We'll always be surrounded by our enemies. We'll always be waiting for destruction. Now, these verses here, 43 and 44, is talking about the destruction of the city, which would come some 30 years later. It hasn't happened yet. Jesus is predicting it. But it did happen. And we can understand today that if we do not accept peace from Christ, if we do not look for peace in Christ, in all that we do, we'll never fully know peace. We might have moments of peace where we think, well, because there's not no turmoil, I've got peace. No, peace is talking about a wholeness of your being where there's a calmness in you when there's chaos around you. That's the peace that only Christ can bring to you. So today, be guided. Be guided into the peace of Christ. Also, recognize when He visits you with peace. Christ has always given us new opportunities for peace. As we come into difficult situations, we can look to Christ for peace. We can look to live through that situation in a way that is pleasing to God, in a way that we depend on God, in a way that we know that God is our rock and our salvation. God is our light and salvation. Whom shall we dread? He's the one that will deliver us. That is what pleases God. And when we please God, we don't have to worry about pleasing anyone else. Lastly, this morning, we need to maintain peace with Jesus by praying and listening to His Word. Look, once we get saved, we've asked Jesus to forgive us, we're forgiven. We've got peace with God. Once we have peace with God, we can start making peace in the world, on earth. We can start making peace with our families, with our friends, with our enemies, things that's going on. But once we have peace and make peace, we've got to maintain it. Because maintaining peace on this earth requires that we maintain peace with God. That means our peace with God comes from our relationship with God. Like anything you have, if you don't take care of it and look after it, it falls apart. If you don't keep your house painted, it's going to look bad. If you don't keep your gutters cleaned out, your fascia boards are going to rot. If you don't keep your car, the oil changed in your car, the motor's going to blow up. You got to do maintenance on anything if it's going to last. If you're going to enjoy peace on this earth, you've got to do maintenance. Look what Jesus says. He entered the temple and He began to drive out those who were selling, saying to them, "It is written, and my house shall be a house of prayer, but you've made it a robber's den." As we look at this text from Jeremiah 7:11, it says, "Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your sight? Behold, I have seen it, declares the Lord." And also from Isaiah 56:7, it says, "Even those I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer, their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all people. Not just for the preacher, not just for the deacons, not just for the people that do more in the church. Hey, when we gather together in the presence of God, it is a place of prayer for everybody that has peace with God. This morning, we need to maintain our peace first by learning to pray. We need to enhance our prayer time, the discipline of prayer. You say, well, we can't have prayer meetings no more on Wednesday night. No, you can't. But according to the laws right now, you can drive to a place of worship. We can't gather together. We're practicing shelter at home. But it says you can drive to a place of worship. You can also drive to the grocery store, or you can drive to the restaurant for the drive-in stuff. Hey, if you go out somewhere and you say, well, I wish I could have went to church today, why not pull in the parking lot, turn off the motor, turn off Facebook, turn off the radio, and say, Lord, you have paused my world. Help me learn to pray better with you. Lord, during this time, as I'm socially distanced from all the things that's common in my life, Lord, I'm asking you to help me enhance my prayer life with you. Help me to be more dependent. Lord, help me cry out to you before I act out. Lord, help my prayer life improve. So we need to learn to pray. And we need to stop making God's house a den of robbers. Now, in this text, it's talking about money changers. It's talking about exchanging Roman currency for Jewish minted coins that are acceptable and used in the temple. And to do this, there was an exchange fee. So it was a lot of money to be made, and there was a lot of corruption going on in this. They was actually had these changing tables set up in the court of the Gentiles, God's people that was coming in to pray from all nations. They was disrupting the worship. They was disrupting the prayer. Now, you know, you think there's nothing good can come out of a church closing. But let me give you something that good can come out of us closing the doors to the church. We've got way too familiar with doing things our way when we come before a holy and mighty God. When was the last time you entered the church and you expected for the glory of God to come across the door and shake the threshold? For smoke to fill the place and the glory of God be so great in there that you say, oh, I'm a man of unclean lips. When was the last time you gathered for worship that way? When was the last time you gathered for worship and when the preacher opened his Bible, you expected to feel the breath of God blow across the room and change your life before you left that day? I challenge you to rethink the way you do church. When we reopen the church doors, we should come in with clean hearts, prayed up, filled up, full of the peace of God, and look to do church the different way. You know, I've been guilty of this. I don't know how many times. You get to church on Sunday, and there's so much things that have to be worked out and be done that you get busy with the business of church and forget that you're there to worship God. Let me tell you something. If there's something going on in the church that has not been done, I don't care if it's a leaky commode, I don't care if it's a bush needing trimmed, the steps needing sweeping, if it's something that needed to be cut out, I don't care what it is. If it hasn't been done by 11 o'clock Sunday morning, it can wait until Monday morning. When you get here, come in to pray. I tell you, when we start back to church, if you're in a habit of gathering with people and talking about all the things that the church needs to do next week, instead of doing that, just stop them and say, look, we ain't going to talk about no work. Come with me. Let's go pray for the service. Let's pray for the preacher. Let's pray for somebody to get saved today. Give them somebody's name or somebody you've been witnessing to. Let's pray for their salvation today. See, we should be coming in to the house of God, to pray to God, for a clean heart, to worship God. And also, we need to stay in the Word of God if we're going to maintain our peace with Him. Look what happens. It says that He was teaching daily in the temple in verse 47, but there was opposition. We're always going to have opposition when we're trying to have peace on earth. We've got peace with God, but we're trying to implement that peace here on earth. There's always going to be opposition. There's always going to be things happening. It says these chief priests and scribes and the leading men among the people, they was trying to destroy Him. Here's what it is. They don't like Jesus. They don't like Jesus' offer of peace. They don't believe He's the Messiah. They've rejected this. So they want to mess up everybody else. They still want to rain on everybody else's parade. But look what happens. It says, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation, you didn't realize what to do. In verse 44, it says that they could not do anything. They could not find anything that they might could do to Jesus, for all the people were hanging on to every word He said. When people are constantly bringing conflict towards you, bringing problems towards you, disrupting your thought, whatever it might be, whether it's at church, whether it's at home, whether it's at work, get in the Word of God. Develop a new discipline of studying the Word of God. You need to plan to once a week set aside time to sit under the preaching of God. You need to plan once a day to read the Word of God. Read something. Open it up. Read a gospel. Read a chapter. Mark something in your Bible and read a little bit. Read over the sermon that you heard earlier in the week. Read God's Word. You need to stay in God's Word so God's Word can keep you in His peace. If you're in God's Word, what is in the well comes up in the bucket, a preacher friend of mine used to always say. If you're filled with God's Word, when chaos and confusion surrounds you, this calmness and a word of peace needed for the moment will come out. We're not supposed to have bitterness towards one another. We're supposed to speak peace to one another. Speaking peace to one another comes from our relationship with God being close. That comes from prayer. We're speaking to God, telling Him our problems, telling Him what's going on. God's Word speaks to us to prepare us for Him to guide us into our peace. If we enter into a situation that has already got problems and we enter into it on our own accord, we'll enter into it trying to battle and fight back with the same things that people are shooting at us. But if we enter it with God's Word, we will quench the disruption that is coming towards us. This morning, I ask you, if you will, to consider with me your peace with God. Are you at peace with God this morning? The first and most important question we can ever ask anyone. You can even, I'd say, the most important question you can ever ask yourself. Do I have peace with God through Jesus Christ? With every head bowed, every eye closed, I know you're at home, but I just want you to think for a minute. Do I truly know that I'm at peace with God? Do I truly know that I'm forgiven? If you don't know how to know that for certain, you just simply pray this. Lord Jesus, I know I've not lived life your way. I know that I've done things that are not pleasing to you. I've done things on my own. But I do believe with all my heart that you come to this earth to bring peace. That you lived a sinless life, the life I should have lived, yet you died on a cross for all the sins that I committed. I believe you was buried and you was raised so I'd know that I could have not only forgiveness, but a new life, a resurrected life. Lord, I'm asking today that you forgive me. Let me have peace with God And Lord, guide me into that peace that the rest of my life I may live pleasing to God. If you've prayed that, call someone today and tell them. Tell the person sitting beside you in your living room, in your car, wherever you're at now. Ask someone what you need to do about being baptized. The Bible says that if we believe in our heart, confess with our mouth, Jesus is Christ, and that God raised him from the dead, that we'd be saved. If you believed it in your heart and prayed it, you're saved. But the Bible says, hey, to start enjoying that peace, to share that peace, you need to confess Jesus before others. You need to publicly be baptized, showing that you have died to your old self, that you've been raised to a new life. You're at peace with God, living a new way, heaven's way. This morning, if you've been a believer a long time, but you always find yourself in conflict with others or just conflict with yourself, before you try to straighten out the conflict with other people or before you continue blaming other people for your unhappiness, ask yourself this. With your head bowed, God, am I doing things your way? Do I show mercy like you show mercy? Do I show kindness like you show kindness? Lord, do I extend grace the way you continually extend grace to me? Lord, if I'm not living as your child, then my problem is not warring with other people, it's that I'm not at peace with you. Lord, forgive me for not living in a Christ-like manner. Lord, give me peace with you, and then let me experience that peace in such a way that I can start extending and sharing that with others. I asked you today to consider new ways that Jesus can guide you into peace. You might not understand where he's leading, but you follow him. You pray. You read the scripture. Go online and listen to other sermons and say, Lord, today I'm going to begin maintaining my peace by praying more regularly and reading your word and setting under preaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.